Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I want some of that tutti frutti ice cream. It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century from I Love Lucy to News Radio. I'm your TV guy, Brett White. I'm also a reporter producer for Decider.com, and we are in part, I think this is part 10 of the quarantine era, which means you're not going to hear any music or clips or any editing. If I mess up, if I say the wrong thing, if I say something hashtag problematic, I'm not going to go back and take it out. It's all going to be left in here because this is going to go up fast, and I'm not going to waste my time editing because I got too many things to worry about. The world is falling apart, but we have each other and we have television. Oh my god, I'm truly going mad. This week, I am joined by quarantined in Connecticut, Lizzie Bryce.
New Hampshire.
Yeah, sorry. from the South. All you Yankee states are the same to me.
It's all the same, I'll be honest.
New Hampshire, Lizzie Bryce. And quarantined in California, a city in California.
A city in California.
Mujan Zulfikari, hello.
Hello. Hi.
How are we doing?
You know, inside and thinking about things a lot.
Yeah, I'm thinking about things more than I've ever thought about anything.
Yeah, I'm excited to get to the point where I think so much that it becomes numb and you can't think because you thought so much. So I'm like hoping that comes this week, but we'll see.
What do y'all have on your What do you have on your schedule to think about next? It's on the busy thinking schedule.
Career, life trajectory, age, just all the hottest hits. Parents who keep breaking COVID.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah. Today, I had a complete reversal where I had to tell my mom she couldn't go get ice cream at an outdoor park with her friends.
Oh my God. And
with her friends in a park?
With her friends who are 80 years old. And I was like, absolutely no, I'm locking you in the house. And she was like, frustrated by me telling her what to do. Yeah. But listen, I'm going to be
Were they planning? Well, no, if you're eating ice cream, you can't even wear a mask.
Yep. At a public park bench.
6 feet apart.
One of the only open ice cream shops. Yeah, no. A bunch of senior citizens. I lost my mind. It was honestly satisfying to be like the parent in the relationship.
Oh my God.
Definitely. I've become the parent too here. Yeah. If I ever hear the garage door open, I run as fast as I can. I'm like, where are you going? What are you doing? Why do you need to go? Is this an essential business? How many people are you meeting with? You stay the fuck inside.
It's all this pent up.
Yeah. You're going to go outside without a mask on your face? What are you, a whore? Like,
Mujan, I was totally channeling that energy this afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. My dad yesterday was like, why are you yelling at us? I'm like, you're my children. And there's no other way you'll understand.
I'm lucky that my parents are, I think they're, well, they're telling me they're taking it serious. My dad still has to go to work. So, like, that is, like, the awful thing. Yeah. But, like, I did not have to tell them. They said themselves, yeah, we're keeping apart from each other. And I was like, oh, I didn't have to bring this up. You just said it. You told me. You volunteered that information without me prying it. Or, like, passive aggressively being like, yo, you know, you should think about, you know. So, I don't
know.
You know, they're fine.
That's good.
But this week, we are doing an episode of television from the 50s. And this specific episode comes from a listener review on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts, which I will read now to get us into it, titled Love the Show, 5 stars. Editorial note, love that start. written by at Televisionary ZW. This show is great, meaning my show. It's a great balance of snark and reverence for the past, not too much nostalgia for nostalgia's sake. Oh, and funny, funny, funny. So that means the pressure is on for you, too. if I could request an episode, it'd be the Ozzie and Harriet episode, Tutti Frutti Ice Cream. So this week we are traveling to December 11th, 1957. Oh, God, I forgot to find out what ruled the box office and what topped the charts. So forget that. And ABC aired The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet episode, Tutti Frutti Ice Cream. Mujan and Lizzie, you must have seen Tutti Frutti Ice Cream before today.
I've heard of Tutti Frutti, but I genuinely thought it was a cereal, so I am shocked to hear it is other things.
I think it is more apt. I think it is probably a more better chance that we've had Tutti Frutti ice cream than we have seen the episode titled Tutti Frutti ice cream.
No, yeah.
And I have not.
I don't think
it.
I've done either, but yeah.
But I'd heard of the ice
There's
cream.
There's also the song Tutti Frutti.
Tutti
so
Frutti.
I'm more familiar with that.
Oh, I've heard Tutti Frutti. I've heard the chorus of Tutti Frutti in like dog and cat food commercials or like.
Yeah, Tutti Frutti. Oh, Rudy. So it's about Rudy. Yeah.
yeah. So what is everyone's history with The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet? Because again, it's a blind spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think my history, it's like, it's been a long journey since this morning when I watched this episode, early before I started my day. I had never heard of them. I did some research. I'm shocked at how prolific and successful were in their time. And truly never heard of them. It's actually like, it's very cool to learn about a whole piece of television history.
Yeah. This is the longest running sitcom of all time. 14 seasons. 430.
It's Sunny. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I think either is like beat it or is equal to or is
it's
very
equal
close to
in number of seasons. But
I really hate to be this person, but I think Supernatural has beat it too.
Oh, it's also in season 14.
What about Grey's Anatomy?
Oh, they're in like 15. 12, I think 15? They're okay. Yeah. So in terms of like sitcoms, it's the longest run live action sitcom ever with 435
it's
episodes.
Insane. And
it's shocking.
And I'm the same as, I mean, I've heard of Ozzie and Harriet. I've heard of like the phrase. It's always been used in reference to like the 50s version of Americana, like the ideal version of gender separation and what a family unit should be, like old school Ozzie and Harriet.
Hell yeah.
But I have never seen one before. So
I knew of Ricky Nelson, who is one of the two children in this episode briefly. I don't know which one. I think he's the younger one.
Ricky is the hot one.
Okay.
David is the younger one.
Oh, okay.
I know because I just rewatched the entrance.
It was like, ooh, that's smoking hot Ricky Nelson. Well, he was a teen heartthrob. I also know, so my main entry to Nelson is the hair metal band Nelson from the late 80s, who, oh my God, whatever their hit was, because One Hit Wonder weekends on VH1, I would watch a lot as a kid, and they would always introduce this like, the grandsons of Ozzie and Harriet Nelson. Like, Nelson. And there are these, like, beautiful Fabio-looking long blonde hair, like, hair metal rocking dudes. So, that's my history with the Nelson family.
And it's crazy,
Yeah.
Does every episode have a really great musical number? Because I was so charmed by that and so not expecting a musical break in the middle of a sitcom.
So I did. So in researching, I don't know if it's every episode, but I do know that. So Ozzie and Harriet were a musical duo who was a band leader. That's how they got their start, was doing music. And they did a lot of radio stuff. And then they transitioned into doing like radio sitcoms. And the Wikipedia specifically points out, like, it was strange that Ozzie Nelson, known for being a band leader, is not a band leader on the show. And that is like you're handicapping yourself. Like, they could be doing these because they're no musicians, but for some reason he doesn't. They even say like Ozzie Nelson, the character, doesn't seem to have a job ever. Which, that also blows my mind that in 435 episodes, it was never clear what job he has, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, he's up at 3 a.m. bothering every neighbor and store in town for ice cream. So obviously,
and luckily,
he's depressed.
Yeah.
It does not have a job, right?
He's got nothing to do. He keeps getting fired.
But it's interesting because it was a show that was also quasi a reality show. But it was like a family that it was about them, and it was their actual sons who were in it.
Yeah.
And it was like a perfect version of what their lives should be. However, I think like later on it was discovered that he himself, the father, was kind of an ego like maniac. He controlled his children's lives. Like, no one's perfect, as you see on television.
My favorite detail is that in the early 60s, when both of the sons got married, they then brought those women onto the show to play the wives under the same name.
No.
Like, yeah. And they were both in, I looked up their IMDBs, and they're both in like 30 episodes across the last three seasons.
It's like Kardashians. Like, once you marry someone, you're part of the storyline. Yeah. You know? It's true reality TV.
So,
and in fact, I heard the screenshot of the, if I don't know what happened in this episode, but sometimes they have like an image of the house, like where they live, as an establishing shot. It's their actual house.
Actual fucking house. Yeah. And because of that, everyone was like, oh, well, the show obviously takes place in, like, Los Angeles. And they had to establish, like, at some point in the run, no, it takes place in, you know, a middle America small town.
America, USA, Main Street,
God. So this week on Must Have Seen TV, we'll be talking about The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, episode 2 to Fruity Ice Cream. It's the 10th episode of season 6 and was written by Don Nelson, Jay Summers, Ozzie Nelson, and Perry Grant. And directed by Ozzie Nelson, here's how IMDb describes the episode. Thoughts and dreams of Tutti Frutti ice cream prompt Ozzie and Darby to embark on an all-night quest in search of the flavor needed to satisfy their craving. Rajan and Lizzie, how accurate is that description?
Very
accurate.
That's it.
And as wholesome as the episode is itself, although to be more accurate, I would prefer if they said Tutti Frutti 50 more times in a row.
Yeah.
I was like, if you guys want a drinking game, just take a shot every time they say Tutti Frutti and Tutti boy. Fruity.
Yeah, it's
you
why
gotta
I'm
get that Tutti
right
Frutti.
It honestly feels like this was like an inside joke in the writer's room, and they were like, you know, God, we have to do 30 episodes a season. I don't know. This one's about open their fridge, Tutti Frutti. It's a funny, to say.
Can I plant a movie reference now that make you think to continue on? This is Harold and Kumar, this whole episode.
I hope so.
It's Ozzie and Darby.
He has a craving, and they go, and they go through many obstacles. Like, NPH doesn't appear on the back, you know, in the back seat, but they get through a lot of fun, exciting events, and they're probably stoned.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the thing that I kept telling myself while watching the whole thing is, well, there's all this, when you're watching old sitcoms like that, you always kind of wonder how aware are they of how silly this is? And I think from a modern standpoint, we can always look back and be like, oh, look at those writers. They didn't know what a joke was. They're just being silly. But I know that knowing that this was co-written by Jay Summers, who did Green Acres, which is one of the most intentionally surreal, stupid, silly, like cerebral, weird comedies of all time, I feel like that casts a whole lot of intent on the stupidity of this episode that makes it smarter instead of like, this is how people react. It's like, no, this is intentionally stupid.
Right.
Yeah.
So that, I love Green Acres. I'm very excited to, I don't know, it kind of makes me want to watch more Ozzie and Harriet, knowing that he wrote a lot of them, because.
Yeah, and he directed them, too.
God.
He was like, this is his thing. He got, hopefully got a lot of money. Oh, also, they made a deal before they even started filming to have a 10-year contract. Even if they didn't meet 10 years, they would still be paid for 10 years.
Yeah.
Damn.
Oh. Yeah, like Ozzie Nelson was, he knew how to rock shit.
Yeah.
I mean, Brett, to go back to your point about Green Acres, I just want to clarify, like, when you say that it was intentional, you're not saying that, like, Tutti Frutti is this big metaphor for something. You're just saying that, like, the repetition and the stylized version of it is what's intentional.
I think so. Oh, do you think Tutti Frutti is like a metaphor for like methamphetamine?
If you're saying it's a metaphor, I am missing the metaphor.
No, I don't think it. No, I think it is like intent, like the. The artistry of this episode is how stupid it is.
Okay.
I think it's the...
Is it? I'm on board.
I have a question. Is Tutti Frutti like a, is it a ice cream flavor or is it a brand
it is
of
a
ice cream?
So it has a Wikipedia page. So Tutti Frutti, from Italian, tutti frutti, meaning all fruits.
All fruit, yeah.
Is a colorful confectionery containing various chopped and usually candied fruits or an artificial or natural flavoring, simulating the combined flavor of many different fruits. It is most notable in Western countries outside of Italy in the form of ice cream. So it is not a brand. It is a Flavor Flav. But since it is not chocolate, I'd never had time for it.
Yeah, so sounds terrible. I'm sure it's great. It looked amazing in the show when we get to it later.
Yeah.
But,
which, you know, after so much buildup.
It's like brilliant colors, but on the show, it just looks like vanilla.
So y'all watch the since this is on the public domain, it is just on YouTube, not going to be able to take down. And the link that I sent you was one that like was, I think, the full 29 minute programming block of the night, which also included all of the Eastman Kodak commercials.
I love it.
Those were some of my favorite parts of the entire.
Yeah.
Entire episode. Also, the camera they push at the end is $80 in money back then, when the ice cream that they bought was 10 cents
yeah.
in the dream. So I was trying to calculate, like, okay, if 10 cents is $5, how much is $80?
So the Kodak
flash. Just the Kodak flash.
The Kodak Pony 2, which is the camera they show in the second commercial, the one in the middle, they say, yeah. like, it starts at for $26.75, which in 2020 dollars is $245.71.
All right.
Okay. So, I mean, so the $80 one
would be four times that? Yeah, like, that's a lot. It's also, so, like, it opens up, and the first commercial is a Kodakolor commercial with Ozzie Nelson, the star of the show, is also just talking about this camera, and, like... It's so weird how, like, in the early days of television, they did not think that would confuse viewers.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot of decisions they used to make. Like, Mary Tyler Moore on her show could not be divorced because the execs were like, well, people will assume that she divorced Dick Van Dyke. And it's like, right. God, people are smart. They know how acting works. So it's weird 20 years before that to see... the person Ozzie Nelson selling Kodak right. introducing his own show where he plays another character named Ozzie Nelson who is himself but not himself.
Well, anyway, he's not lying. Those are pictures of his son. Those are pictures of his family. He may have been paid money to do this. I mean, it reminds me of everyone says podcasts are the future, but podcasts are just a reimagination of like old radio like plays and stuff. And so that's this reminds me of just like a podcast ad in the beginning of a podcast where they're like, make it personal. Okay, here you go.
Squatty Potty is here's Ozzie Nelson for pillow, whatever.
Yeah. For men's whatever it's called.
A lot of men's underwear.
Oh yeah. One thing too that I thought was really interesting, and Brett, you probably are the right person to ask about this, but I thought it was really interesting that in the dream sequence they're in the same bed, and I was trying to remember when I Love Lucy the last show to show them in separate twin beds. I just thought it was really remarkable that they were in the same bed in a 1957 show.
Yeah, because both I Love Lucy before this and Dick Van Dyke Show after this are twin beds. So that it's like that. I was like scandalized.
I mean, I was impressed. I was like, oh, wow, this is not just about ice cream. Like, where's this show going?
Yeah.
How political will we get?
I wonder if it's because like they were like, well, viewers know they're married in real life. So it's kind of like Kirk Cameron only kisses his wife on ever. So when his characters in movies kiss a woman, it's always his wife. So that's why it's always in silhouette or from far away.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
but luckily she is wearing a full set of makeup, so everyone realizes a woman should always be at 100 all the time.
She's Miss Maisel.
Yeah, it's Miss Maisel thing. So the episode opens, and they're already, like, pedal to the metal. One of the kids comes in, Donnie or Ricky, I don't know. What's the other ones? David and Ricky?
David and Ricky. Okay, Ricky is the hot one.
And they're like, we are out of dessert. I mom is darning socks, which is also, that's a thing that doesn't happen anymore.
Darning socks.
Yeah, right? We just get new socks.
Let that pass. Like, she's sewing them, or what is darning?
She needs to do something with her hand, you know? She's a method
she needs
actress.
Business to do.
Well, and she blames the holes in his socks on his bony toes, and he's like, well, I only have bony toes from not eating dessert. Because, like, it is kind of like we find out they're all not eating dessert because we're trying to cut back on calories. It's like a family.
What's happening with this family? They need to cut back on calories. They're all... fine.
They're all so thin.
Yeah. Again, it's just like, oh, we got to give them a reason for why they don't have Tutti Frutti ice cream. That isn't, right. We just didn't buy any. I don't know. It's so weird.
And also, like, the dark stories, like, the family's like, no one in this family will ever be a slink. Every single day we will weigh you and you must be perfect to be in the family.
And they're all, like, just, like, obsessed with this Tutti Frutti because they see a newspaper ad of a lost kid who was found by a cop who gave him Tutti Frutti ice cream. Also, take a shot every time we say Tutti Frutti. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Of kid eating Tutti Frutti ice cream because the cop was like, while the kid was waiting for his parents to show up. And they're all like, they all start just remembering great ice cream memories.
Yeah. And in their wonderful voices, I love the voices of like the of 50, like just olden times to us. But like the way that they talk is so like casual because nothing bad has happened in their life. Like they just
it's never gonna happen.
I felt the same way about Harriet's eyebrows. I was like, oh, yeah. I remember eyebrows. Like, that's what my grandma's eyebrows looked like.
Well, do y'all have any like ice cream reminiscences or whatever? Like these people.
I guess so. Like growing up, we would always walk to the TCBY and get the parfait. Mm-hmm. And that was my favorite thing to get. And I always look forward to it. Or Rocky Road ice cream, I always used to love as a kid. I have so many good memories with ice cream.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. I'm lactose intolerant is what I'm saying.
Oh, no.
Van Leeuwen, it can still exist for you.
Oh, no.
Do you have any fond ice cream memories, Lizzie?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, growing up, I used to always go to Cape Cod, and there's a place called Sunday School, but they spell Sunday like A-E.
Oh, yeah.
And it is, I swear to God, the best ice cream in the world. So.
Yeah, that's in Tennessee, in Loudoun County, in Loudoun, Tennessee, tiny ass town where my parents live, my family grew up. There's a little tiny little Sunday shop on the town square called TikTok that used to be a former watch shop, and they opened it up.
Oh,
and since it is
name.
Literally the only thing to do in Loudoun, it is the hopping spot every summer. There's a picture of my grandfather on the wall. Like, you know, it's very nice, very small. So there's a really, like, the transition into the dream sequence comes when, like, Ricky or one of the kids says, like, they're basically like, they're all freaking out about Tutti Frutti ice cream. He's like, well, you know what? If Pop can take not having it, then so can we. He cannot take having it.
It is in his head.
Oh yeah.
Pop wakes up. He's in the bed. They're in the bed together. We go to a dream sequence. The name of the ice cream parlor in his dream was Reed and Coops, but Reed was spelled WREDE.
What?
And Coops was KOPS, but I've never seen Reed spelled that way. We just get two song and dance numbers.
Lovely. Wonderful. There's no purpose.
Honestly, that was my favorite part of the episode.
Yeah.
I was when the barbershop quartet showed up, I was like, yes, let's go. I'm in.
This is a version of Miss Maisel I would watch.
So like they sing a song called Goody Goody, which is like a 1936 I guess pop song, and then they sing a Tutti Frutti song, which I googled the lyrics. I think it might be, you know, an original for the episode. Maybe it was the hot single of the week. I don't know.
Yeah, was it like I like
Goody?
It might be part of Goody Goody. I don't know.
Wait, what were the lyrics again? Oh, sorry.
Oh, I can't remember.
Wait. I'm sorry. I was just saying, I thought this song was really like, Goody Goody to me. It was a great song, and I was like, wow, they really pulled out all the stops for this.
Yeah, I wonder. Do you think they had publishing rights back? Like, did they have to pay for Goody Goody, or is it
probably
already,
yeah.
Kodak.
We're a capitalist society.
Yeah, Kodak. So you met someone who set you back on your heels, Goody Goody. So you met someone, now you know how it feels, Goody Goody. So you gave her your heart, too, just as I gave mine to you. Stop talking. Okay, yeah, and then it just keeps going on. Yeah. Cool, man. Good. And there's, like, a flapper dance number, too, like...
Love it.
I loved it.
It makes me wish that...
I have no complaints about this part of the episode.
It makes me wish that more... Because also, like, Dick Van Dyke Show would do this, where they would just kind of hit pause. Like, I was watching an episode last night, because this is what I do, where... So, like, Sally, who's a comedy writer, this comedian, like, basically offers to marry her because he's just trying to get her to write all of his material. And so he's conning her into marrying him so he can just have her write all of his stuff.
What year was this?
That was 1963.
That's progressive still. A woman.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they spent two acts establishing this guy is an asshole. He's a creep. He's going after one of our favorite characters on the show, who's a series lead, fucking Rosemary. And then they pause in act three just to show him doing an act. And then they let him do an act for 5 minutes, and the audience is on board and laughing. And I'm like, wait, no, this character is a bad character. But it's just like, they would just pause shows in the 50s and 60s and be like, now we're just going to sing and dance and do impressions.
I mean, that's kind of when I said the Miss Maisel line is because that's what kind of season, if you saw the last season of Miss Maisel, they kind of mirror that, in which they spend half of episodes just with a song and dance number but not progressing the plot. It's like, look at all the money we have. We're at Amazon. Look at this dancer. Look at this stand-up. And it's like, yeah, it's actually then, who knows, maybe it comes from a historical place.
Yes. I think that I also need to get back into Maisel just for that reason, because that sounds like a delight, because I need an escape. I'm in hell.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm straddling the fence because I love spectacle. Like in this episode, I was like, yes, let's go. Let's do dancers. Let's be flappers. But sometimes I hear you. There were times where we would just be like sitting in a dance number that felt like, okay, what's happening with anyone I care about?
right.
So they're doing flapper stuff in the night. It's 1920s and this is the 50s. So it's a 30 year difference. So this is like if in a sitcom in 2020, they did a dream number and it was just like New Jack Swing dancing or like hair metal or like.
I love it.
Yeah. 30 yeah. years. It's so wild. So in the dream, he gets served some Tutti Frutti ice cream. It's 10 cents. He cannot pay because the government did not give him his money. Right.
The government didn't give him his money?
What is
his job?
Okay, yeah. He's like, check didn't go.
He says he's a lawyer. So maybe he's a lawyer for the government.
Okay.
And so he wakes up and he's just muttering for it, Tutti Frutti, etc. And then he's like, and his Harriet is like, it is after midnight. What are you doing? He's like, well, I'm going on a hunt for it. And he goes next door to his neighbor's house, Darby, throwing stones at the window. And I have to, like, the relationship between Ozzy and Darby is fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
What a ride they go on in this episode. It's very Harold and Kumar, I think.
Very Harold and Kumar. The beginning of this episode is very Seinfeld, and then it transitions into Harold and Kumar.
Oh my God, this is a show about nothing.
It's a show about nothing.
Holy shit.
That's the original Seinfeld.
I want to stress to people that have not watched this episode for free on YouTube, the entire episode is literally about Tutti Frutti ice cream. There is, they get the game and they
Kodak.
Give
Kodak. It's about a family who's managed to con Kodak for 14 years of making a show.
So they can just afford ice cream. Darby comes down finally because he's like, what the fuck, man? Imagine if he actually did come out and say, what the fuck? He's like, you woke me up.
Well, he's going to throw a giant stone through his window. If he said, what the fuck, it'd be like, it would be earned.
Yeah, because he's picked up this big stone. And I wrote down that I love Darby's robe. It is a nice silk robe. Mm. It made me like.
Yes.
The fact that I am in quarantine for now 42 or 43 days at this point, and I have not upped my loungewear game. It's a shame on me.
Oh yeah, I just invested in some new yoga pants, so I'm ready to do nothing. Like,
oh, that's pretty cool.
I didn't know what was great is I definitely bought them because I was like, oh, I need something comfortable to watch movies in, and I ordered them, and the package was like, here's to a healthier you.
I only knew
what I was going to use these for.
These are No.
I've been dressing in a lot of just like the most I just look like a teenage skater boy. And the other day I was walking and someone's like, son. I was like, yep. I'll it.
Yeah. And also, like, I love that silk robe he's wearing. Darby is my king. So he has a total valid rare. Like, the thing that I think is really funny about this episode is when people ask for Tutti Frutti ice cream after midnight, Darby's reaction is, the fuck are you like, what are you talking about? Absolutely not. You are being nuts. He initially does not suffer it. He's like, go away.
Yeah, that's a normal human reaction to your neighbor coming up to you and
at midnight.
At midnight, yelling for ice cream. And then Darby gets locked out, and I wrote my notes, poor Darby. But then Ozzy goes back in, and then I'll just read verbatim from my notes again. Harriet is coming out, and Harriet's like, bitch, we are coming for that ice cream. Because Harriet is like, she's put on her jacket. And she's like, here's your pants. We're going to go get some ice cream. I want some, too. Let's roll, son.
Hell yeah. She wants to get out of the kitchen. This is her one opportunity to leave the set.
Yes.
I was reading most of the storylines are her in the kitchen, as a woman does. And now she gets to drive a car and meet other people.
This is when we get the commercial break for the Kodak Pony 2, the $245 and $2020 camera. And this one was not Ozzy doing it. It was some Mr. Kodak dude, but he shouted out the Nelsons.
Okay.
And you get a color slide with it too. Like I forgot until these commercials that these cameras, it's not like you got film and you brought it to CBS. These cameras, you had to actually take the slides and put them on a projector to bore your family and friends.
Oh, wait, whoa.
The pleasure of $20 in 1950s money to do that.
So wait, so the cameras themselves take slides? They don't take film? Is that
what it looked like? Somebody's going to correct me, but what it looked like based on the commercial is they had like an image of someone taking the slide and putting it, placing it in front of a projector, which would show the photo really large. And so, you're spending all this money on a camera to just set up a projector in your home.
Jeez, and now I just have, I'm drowning in photos.
I miss the idea, although I never experienced it in my life. I take that back. No, my brother does this every time we have like a family party of like sitting down and watching like footage of yourselves and family and like from a, and not just going on Instagram or like Facebook, but actually sitting together and reliving images. It could be boring, but in my family, which is my brother takes photos during any event. Even if he comes quarantined or like 6 feet away from us right now, he takes a photo of it and then he sends us the album 5 minutes later. And he's like, look at this. And I'm like, yeah, that just happened.
Yeah. And one day all of that will be precious for you.
Yeah. But we have
you
like
want to reminisce
parties.
On your quarantine.
The terabytes of.
We do. We have beautiful photos. We put them up as portraits, all of us with our masks on. But yeah.
Oh, God. So the show comes back after the commercial break. And so they found a drugstore. They're banging on the door. And these two adults are out after midnight hunting for ice cream.
Yeah. Like, Errol and Kumar.
Yeah. And who answers the door? But I do believe that is Mr. Wilson from Dennis the Menace.
Yes.
The same actor. He's the pharmacist. He says that he lives in the back of the store. He says that. Was that a thing?
He is my favorite.
I think so.
This whole show.
I feel like people can have houses on the back of the business, or I don't feel like that's unusual.
Okay.
Maybe back in the day.
Well, I guess it's also a small town, so.
Also, we don't know his backstory. Maybe he's going through a difficult relationship.
Yeah.
You know, he needs separation. He just has like a nesting area back there. He's a bed. We don't know. He's going through something and we're not privy to it. So,
and if we're keeping with the comparisons to Amy Sherman-Palladino shows, Luke also lives in the back of his diner. So,
true.
I'm going to decide that this is perfectly normal. Although I think waking up at midnight to open the store and being that jovial about it is what's unusual.
No, he's still in uniform. He's like ready to rock. Yeah. He's like, I'm here to serve.
I will make a sale. Always be closing. Yeah. I will make a sale at any time.
This has got Duty Fruity's got to be a drug. Like no one else would be that.
I would like this episode a lot more if they were explicit, like Harold and Kumar, like, oh, they're super high.
It is. It's also like so wild to think about the days when a drugstore was an ice cream parlor like that. Like they went hand in hand because that is. Yeah. When did that stop? Like the 60s and it just like hard stopped. What stopped this grand tradition?
Probably when a pharmacist drugged the ice cream, like some sort of crossover happened.
Yeah, that is dangerous.
I mean, Brett, like, have you never bought ice cream at Duane Reade? That's my question.
Oh,
yeah.
I do buy ice cream at Duane Reade a lot. So.
Wait, are they the ones? Because growing up, we used to go to Rite Aid and they had ice cream that had like they were box shaped or like the scoops were cubed-esque, like cubed ice cream. Does that make sense?
What's going on? What's happening?
Anyway.
It's like Dippin' Dots, but cubes?
No, it's just like they put a scoop of ice cream, but it's not like a circle. It's like a cute boxy shape.
They served you ice cream at Rite Aid?
It's like a cubism take on.
Oh, boy. Maybe it was a dream. God damn it.
Well, you could put ice cream in like an ice cube tray. Ooh, that might be fun.
Mujan, if you're dreaming of ice cream, you're really immersed. You've done so much research on this.
It's cylinder ice cream scoop. Rite Aid was famous for it. Thrifty ice cream scoop.
Why did I write?
You know the wooden spoon that like came on the ones you'd get at school?
Love those. I love that ice cream. That was good taste in ice cream.
Is that what you're talking about, though?
Wait, what? Sorry?
Are you talking about the little ice creams you get at school with like a wooden spoon in the top of it?
No, hold on. Am I allowed? Anyway, I'll send you guys the picture of what I'm talking about.
Please do. I'm desperate to know cubist ice cream.
When the pharmacist, just like Darby, the pharmacist has a very natural reaction. When he hears that these two adults are out hunting for ice cream after midnight, he naturally assumes, well, she's definitely pregnant because my wife wanted tuna fish malts once. Oh, we just got a text.
It's like cylinder.
Thrifty.
And they had it at like Thrifty and other sort of stores like that. I believed it was Rite Aid, but I could have been wrong where I went and got it. But I grew up eating this.
Wow. Oh, wow.
I mean, that looks great. God, I can't wait to have my Talenti gelato when this is done. his wife wanted tuna fish malts. And so he starts looking through the ice creams. He's like, well, we have Tutti Frutti usually. Let me find it. I thought this was so funny that he's going. So this is 1957 and he's going through the ice cream. And he's like, here's licorice almond. Here's something, something. Then he gets to vanilla and he's like, oh, vanilla. Oh, it's vanilla marshmallow wave. And I think it's just funny that even in 1957, vanilla already had a reputation for being vanilla.
Mm-hmm. In the 50s. In the most vanilla time ever.
Yeah. It's just so.
They should have been like vanilla. What a proper way to be. There should only be one color.
Mm-hmm. Keep the chocolate ice cream over there. The strawberry ice cream over there. Oh, Neapolitan ice cream made them freak out.
Oh, yeah.
God, I love Neapolitan ice cream. God.
The pink ice cream should just bear children and sit at home. The white ice cream gets a job.
So they get cherry ice cream because they're like close enough. And then they come home and then they start eating the cherry ice cream. The kids are awake.
What time is it?
It is.
Time does not exist in this world.
It has to be 1 a.m. at this point.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So the kids are just awake and eating ice cream.
To be clear, the kids are 25. Like, we're acting like they're children. The kids should be at college or like at their jobs.
It makes me wonder what other episodes are like if we never find out basic facts like where they work or do we know where they go to school? I need to get into it. So they draw a bunch of fruit cocktail on it because they're like, maybe this will help. And it does not help.
I love that moment where she's like, maybe if we put this onto it, it'll make it taste better. Because in my head, I was like, that's bourbon or like, that's Coke.
It doesn't look like fruit cocktail. It's totally liquid. And I guess I think a fruit cocktail is those big chunks of fruit.
Yeah.
But when she first suggested that, my first thought was like, oh, that's brilliant. I assume that's what Tutti Frutti tastes like because I have no idea what it tastes like. Yeah.
So now is when Darby has come over to their place. And he's like, hey, you asshole. Now I want Tutti Frutti because you got it stuck in my head. Then we like, is this when they're playing cards? They're then playing cards. And we find out that Darby's like, so what is Tutti Frutti ice cream? Like, he's never had it before.
He doesn't know. He's up at 2 a.m.
He's up at 2 a.m. playing cards with his neighbor, talking about ice cream. Both of them, they're like, we are reminiscing and wanting ice cream. We cannot remember what it tastes like.
I actually think that this moment is like, if any moment is a metaphor, this is the most poetic scene because it's literally like, can you long for something you've never known? Which I think can be applied to so many things in life. I was like, you could drop this scene into so, like, Call Me by Your Name. You could drop this scene into so many movies and it still plays.
There's a show I want to see. Darby and Ozzy, Call Me by Your Name.
I would love that.
Oh.
Well, I think there's like sort of a subtle thing happening between the two of them. So maybe I'm thinking that hopefully.
Yeah.
But it is the 50s.
Yeah, I ship them. Yeah.
Yes. I ship them hard.
Yes, OTP. So then they decide to like, oh, well, we can just make it ourselves, which as the husband of a man that loves making ice cream, I am firmly aware that making ice cream is an endeavor. It is not an easy thing. Even with an ice cream maker, which we have, it is a delicate balance. You got to figure things out. And they're like going through cookbooks, assuming they can just make it overnight. Good luck.
How long does it take?
I mean, I think it takes overnight. It's not an immediate process. And they do find a recipe, and this is another thing that I was surprised they had in the 50s. They find a recipe for a hamburger, and it has like cheese and it has bacon on it.
Yes,
and that shocked me that they had bacon on burgers in the 50s. Is that?
Oh, it feels like the most time to put bacon on your burger.
I guess it's because
all American.
I think I feel like I did not discover bacon on burgers until like I was already firmly established burger eating human being.
But Brett, you're from the South. That's surprising.
I remember like distinct phases of like, I started with hamburgers and then all of a sudden cheese was added into the mix and then like bacon was added into it.
Wait till you find out about avocado.
Oh my God. Ugh, that's wild.
Something to look forward to in all this quarantine.
This is one I wrote down. They're all just going to have heartburn because they're now they're eating burgers at 3 a.m.
Also, yeah, what happened to those calories they're trying to whatever?
That's what I was going
to
say. Like, this is the family that's so worried about calories, and they've turned down, like, cherry ice cream with more fruit on top of it.
Yeah.
It is after midnight, and they're eating just hamburgers and
no
ice cream.
No one's tired. Everyone is wired.
Everyone is so
definitely high. I don't know why I didn't think of this myself, but they're definitely high. Like,
yeah. What drugs? What were the popular drugs of the 50s? So I'm trying to think, what was the writer's room on when they were writing this?
Well, if you had access to, like, a scientist, maybe you could get LSD.
Okay. Because this it's starting to feel even more Harold and Kumar-y. A movie I have not seen, but I get the gist.
Meth started in the 50s.
Wait, really? Did you just look that up? Did you Google hot drugs of the 50s?
Yep. This is the earliest reference to the practice of injecting. Meth. Occurred in the 1950s, but did not spread until the 60s. So I hope no one's on any drugs at all.
No. This is when the most wild, also good heightening, because this is the wildest escalation of all. They realize, you know what? That kid got Tootie Fruity ice cream because he was lost and the cops gave it to him. So let's just call the cops. And so they call the cops. They tell the operator, no, we're just calling to find out about ice cream at 3 a.m. And then the cop answers, the one that gave the kid ice cream, and he's not angry at all about this waste of time.
No, he's so happy. He's also super alert.
Yeah.
He's like, there's no crime happening in this town at all. Of course I'll help you out.
Like, the most 1950s thing, like, white family calls cops because they want ice cream.
Yeah.
Like, it's the most, like, we're so unaware of what anything means. Like,
I just killed my wife, and I'd like to know what ice cream you had in the paper. Yeah. That's great. Let me tell you. Hope your wife's doing well.
And so they, like, he tells them that he got it at the grocery store, and he turns around to Darby, and Darby's, like, already in the car, and he's like, let's go.
Yes.
And it's this point that it hits me. Oh my God. We're like 20 minutes into this episode and they're just now thinking, let's go to the 24-hour grocery store. Yeah. It took them until a cop tells them to just go to the grocery store.
Also, time does exist. If it's they have to go to the 24-hour
one.
Like, this isn't a world without time.
And they get there, and on the wall above the ice cream, flavor of the month is Tutti Frutti, and it is out. Tutti Frutti mania has just swept the town.
Yeah, there's a bunch of, like, middle-aged men all across the city wearing their robes, walking aimless through the streets, just like, Tutti Frutti. Hey.
This inspired Rod Serling to do the Twilight Zone, scene. So then they drive to... They're like, go check this other grocery store. They get very, very convoluted directions. And I think the directions end with, when you get to this place, ask someone.
Yes, this is Harold and Kumar. This is straight. I mean, or Harold and Kumar reference this.
Wow, do you think? Maybe?
No.
So, what the... A really great joke is when they finally, like, oh, God, we're lost. And then all of a sudden, they're like, wait a second. We're lost. And they smile. And then, like, does it smash cut to them calling the Harriet, being like, hey, we were with the cops. They gave us ice cream.
Yeah, that part was a bit of a jump.
Oh, it was such a wild, because they're lost, they then could call the cops, who then came and found them and gave them ice cream.
Right, why didn't you just go to the police station in the beginning?
Yeah.
And also, if you're lost, how was the... like, I don't know. I have a lot of questions.
I guess, like, I was pleased with that ending because I had no idea how we were going to end anywhere or how things would ever feel like a sense of closure. So I was like, oh, wow. We did it. We made the loop of the sitcom. We started... Yeah. We ended where we started.
You knew they were going to get Tutti Frutti. You knew it was going to happen.
It was going to happen. And I'm honestly, like, by the time they got there, they had talked to so many friendly shopkeepers and neighbors, and I was like, thank God you finally talked to someone who knows where the grocery store is.
I love that you're saying that, like, they found some closure, because we're living in a time right now where we're like, we need some answers, and we need a happy ending.
Tutti Frutti is the vaccine.
Yeah, Tutti Frutti is the vaccine. Tutti Frutti is the end of... Okay, I'm not going to get into...
Can I say one of my favorite things that happened many times in this episode is the classic laugh track. However, if you listen closely, it is the same laugh track.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Same, because it ends with a certain laugh, like ha ha, and it just like every single one of it just always ends with ha ha.
Oh man,
the same laugh. They didn't take multiple takes, just one take laugh. And they put it in over and over and over and over.
Well, Lujan, they had to make 500 hours of content. How are they going to spend time on each laugh?
And they also couldn't trot a studio audience out to that grocery store. To the, I mean, honestly, this show, this episode, like, moves. There are multiple sets.
Yes.
There's like a lot of, there's money spent. That Kodak money. Yeah.
And you drop right into it. Like the very first scene is them being like, let's find Tutti Frutti, and then we're running. Like,
yeah, and it never stops.
There's no fat here.
Also, it's all men out at night. You would never see a woman out at night at that time.
You know, except Harriet's, for the wife. Yeah. But she's only out because she's pregnant looking for food. She wasn't pregnant.
Right. But if you had like a woman in the 24-hour store, that would be scandalous.
Yeah, why would she
like,
be
what
there?
What is she doing out there at this time of night?
No, absolutely not. So the episode ends with the next morning. He gets a call from the operator he talked to the last night. And she's like, where'd you get that Tutti Frutti? All the girls here want it. And that's it. That's the episode. But it's not the end of the YouTube thing because we get another Kodak commercial. And then Ozzy comes out. To Ozzy Nelson, the actor, director, writer, performer, band leader, comes out to say bye to the audience and then, like, tell next week we're doing this episode. It's titled This, It's a Western.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
I loved the promo of them doing a Western, which looks exactly like them looking for Tutti Frutti, but in bucket hats.
What?
It was great.
What a wild ride.
Hey, I want every single show to end with like the main star, the creator, being like, hi there, thank you so much for watching. Now next week is one of our favorites.
I mean, Netflix shows should do that.
Succession, just like
yes.
The Roy family would like to thank you for going on this
Elizabeth
journey.
Moss comes out for Handmaid's. Now next week was a bit of a hard one to film, but we think you like it.
Here's another tale for you.
Like, this family has really conned Kodak and I respect them for it.
Oh, the
like
hustle.
This is why Kodak went under.
The Nelson show. Hustle is real.
Yeah.
Are y'all ready for some must-have facts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes. So this episode was watched by... I don't know, because this show was never a top 30 hit, except in the penultimate season when it was number 29. Or I think it was season 11, it was 29. So it's wild. Like, it was such a part of the zeitgeist, and it lasted 14 years, but it was never a runaway hit.
People really? Definitely know it.
Oh, yeah. And it persisted in syndication and stuff forever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. The top five shows of this season of television were number five, I've Got a Secret. Number four, Have Gun, Will Travel. Number three, Tales of Wells Fargo. Number two, The Danny Thomas Show. And number one, Gunsmoke. Dear God, Westerns.
Wow. And then makes sense, their next episode.
Yeah.
A Western.
Yeah.
The hottest thing. They were trying to get up there.
It is. Have y'all ever watched any of those old Westerns? Because I never have.
No.
They would always come on TV Land, and that would be like, that was always my cue to turn it to another
Does
channel.
Does Medicine Woman count?
Yes. Medicine Woman counts.
Wait, I have an interesting fun fact about Harriet. I don't know if you knew this, but I found it in an old New York Times article about how Harriet, before she became Ozzy's wife, someone was describing her. They said she was a bombshell. She liked gay people. She liked a good off-color joke. She enjoyed her cocktails at night. She had the talent to go on and be a big star, but she made the decision to be Ozzy's wife. And I don't think years passed when she didn't think, what if?
Oh shit.
Ooh.
And by gay people they mean hard. They mean happy people, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Harriet sounds like so much fun before she became a doctor.
Oh, yeah. Give me that Harriet show.
Yeah, I would love that. I would love a show about the Nelsons where like you see a little bit of an episode and then you see their real life. Like a good version of The Bewitched with Will Ferrell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I just watched that movie for the first time, like not too long ago, because it's now streaming on something.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't understand the series of decisions that had to be made in order for this to be the outcome. Like, yep. It's just so insane. The ABC.
It sounds like Harriet would be good at it.
Yes.
Super fun.
So the ABC Wednesday night lineup, I also learned through reading that ABC was like down in the dumps. Like CBS and NBC were like the hot shit of radio. And so like getting this show, Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, was like ABC's like, yes, yes, give it to us. Yes. And so this was like their big deal. Their Wednesday night lineup at the time was Disneyland, Tombstone Territory, The Adventures of Ozzie and Harry, and then The Walter Winchell File, which was a crime drama. I meant to look up what the hell Disneyland is. Disneyland TV series. It might just be that thing where Walt Disney came on TV every week to tell them how Disneyland was going.
It's going well.
Because like that's like what he did. You can watch parts of it. Yeah. So Walt Disney's Disneyland. Oh, God. This is a long ass entry. I'm not going to read all that stuff. Oh, it was like, yeah, it was basically just kind of like a wonderful, looks like it was like a Wonderful World of Disney, like a bunch of shorts and just like, the Siamese Cat song, aired as part of this. Just they like plucked out parts from that. That's a very racist thing. wild, wild fact, truly insane fact. So I think one of the Barbershop Quartet guys is Glenn A. Larson, who was the creator. He would go on to, 20 years later, create Battlestar Galactica, Quincy M.E., Magnum P.I., and Knight Rider.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And he was just, I think, one of the Barbershop Quartet guys because he's credited as... Oh, IMDb, I'm not editing this out. No, it's not. I'm not doing anything. This is...
Oh, no, I thought you were going to edit the IMDb.
No, he's just a member of the Four Preps, which I assume is the Barbershop Quartet.
Yeah, I assume.
Yeah. So, that's crazy.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. He created all those shows, but also his nickname was Glenn A. Larceny because everyone thought that all of his ideas were ripoffs. So,
Damn.
Oh, wow. Okay. That one cuts deep.
So shade. I call shade. So on IMDb, 23 users give this episode a 7.6 out of 10. Would y'all go higher, lower? Does that seem right? And, you know, just going with your gut compared to all of television?
I found it very pleasant if I didn't think about the socioeconomic, racial, whatever, gender issues of the time.
In the world at the time.
Yeah. I would give it a nice solid. It's fine. It's a five. It's fine. It's pleasant.
Similarly, I was not to go too deep into this, but I was reading all this stuff about how in the 50s there were like four channels. And the goal was just to be so fine. Everything's pleasant. It's just like people like families, people like ice cream. Please don't do anything that makes someone change the channel because we have advertisers to keep happy. So I think like if I'm looking at it from that paradigm of like in the 50s, does this keep Kodak giving the sweet, sweet Kodak money to Ozzie and Harriet? Then I'd say like, yes, this is successful.
You succeeded.
This is fine. Right. I'm not offended. I'm not changing the channel. Sure, like a seven. But if I'm comparing it to like what is an emotional experience of art, I feel like because you're comparing it to TV of today, I probably would go like four.
Yeah, I will say, so like, I just did a Father Knows Best episode with Ramsey S. and Patrick Kottner, and whoa boy, that Father Knows Best episode was like, it's a drama. It's a half hour drama with children. So there are like some jokes every now and then, but like, it's not that funny. So coming off of that and watching this, it's like, oh, thank God. Like, they were not here to teach a moral. Because there are truly no lessons learned.
There's not even time in this world.
They like, they're not gonna, you know, if there wasn't, even if there was a moral of like, well, you know what, count your calories. It's like, no, fuck that. Eat hamburgers at 2 a.m. Right. It's like, there's no, so I really respect that. This is a 1950s sitcom episode that like is not teaching you anything, is not trying to be like, not even really be more holier than thou than normal. It's kind of
I would say that it does teach you something, which is if you want something, you go get it.
No matter what
time it is in this world without.
Even if it takes calling the cops.
Yeah.
Just calling the cops, waking up your neighbor, having your wife go put her makeup on again so she can answer the phone. Like, go for it.
Get it done. So I think in terms of like, this is not as good as an I Love Lucy episode, because like a lot of I Love Lucy episodes still stand up today as being like as good as what's on television now. So like I Love Lucy is the queen, but this is way better than both Life with Elizabeth and Father Knows Best that I've watched. So there. Who had the must see performance in this episode?
Can I have two answers? One is Harriet's eyebrows.
Yes,
they remind me of like the beautiful early 90s. And real actor, the shopkeeper who's ready to go, ready to serve at any time.
Oh yeah,
always closing. He was so pleasant, and their entire conversation, I was just like, "Is there a spark here? Is there like?"
I ship them as well.
Yeah,
Harriet.
I can't wait, Ozzy, to come out with many boyfriends from the show. my secret hope.
Yeah, Joseph Kearns, credited as druggist.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I like that pharmacist was druggist.
Druggist. Yeah, I think he's my standout.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's like the tertiary characters of this world really gave it a pleasant vibe, because instead of being angry about the situations, they made people aspire to. I don't know what I'm saying. But yeah, everyone's great. It was a good time. Everyone's doing fine.
My favorite was I love Darby. Darby is my
Darby.
Yeah. Parley Bayer. What else did he do? He was on the Dukes of Hazzard for 7 episodes.
Oh wow.
He was on 9 episodes of Bewitched as a bunch of different characters. I'm just looking at his IMDb now.
That makes sense to me.
He was on Green Acres as a bunch of different characters. And Petticoat Junction as he worked. Parley Bayer worked.
He booked.
He got things done. Are you booking, girl? Is anyone booking right now?
booking my DVR.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
God. And lastly, must other people see this episode of television for free on YouTube?
I'd say, why not? You know, it's fun to kind of see what television was like back in the day, especially the commercials and how different it was and what's changed and not changed. I think if you like television and you like the history of television, it's a fun watch.
Also,
you get to see perhaps it inspired people such as Jerry Seinfeld or the writers and actors of Harold and Kumar.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I recommend watching it if you've never seen an Ozzy and Harriet before, but I might recommend being either really drunk or really high through it.
Oh, yeah. The other thing,
a little incessant otherwise.
Yeah. The other thing is, on YouTube, you can control the speed of play.
Oh, no. You can make them all high speed.
Well, but you can like. You can make it like at 1.25 speed, which will just like make it feel like a TV show now.
Right.
Which, you know, is not a, I didn't do that. I did that for the commercials. I'll be honest. I will come clean. I did that for the commercials of this, but I did not do it for the content of the episode.
I think there's something pleasant about the slowness of it, about how calm it is and how there's not much action happening. I feel like, especially nowadays, it felt like a weird little escape into this.
Yeah.
Perfect world that was very imperfect.
I do watch the majority of my TV at work at like 400% speed because there's too much content and we have to get through so much. I've watched entire seasons of television in 3 hours.
Oh my god.
It's like you just put it on closed caption, so you're basically just like reading the show, and you're just like, it's like you're Clockwork Oranging it, and you're just like, get it in. Yeah. I got to just know the plot so I can write an explainer.
Like, it's so funny because then you think about the people who worked on the show who spent like 8 months making like 12 episodes, or like And then someone's like, yeah, I watched it in 800 speed in 30 minutes. It was fine.
Yeah. That's so like, so just to like, if it is a thing that I'm reviewing professionally, critically at work, I do not watch it at the normal. Yeah. But like, if it is a, I just have to get through this, and that's, there's too much content.
Yeah.
I'm not enough time. I guess
for now, Brett, this is, we have to hang on to the content we have, because who knows about the future?
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a weird... weird movie TV glut in like 7 months, 8 months.
I know.
Wait, no, glut is too much. Drought is, hold on.
Drought's, yeah, not, drought. No, nothing.
Glut is a lot.
Oh, glut is a lot. A drought. Yeah, an abundance, yes.
Yeah, there's going to be an anti-abundance of content. Oh my God. So where can people find y'all on the internet with all of your abundance of content?
Hey, I'm at Lizzie Bryce, Lizzie with a Y, on all of the platforms, and I have a short film that's making a few little festival runs, so that if you want to look into it, is queenofthemole.com, and it is sort of a comedy horror feminist film. It's all the genres, but mostly feminist comedy horror. So
yeah.
And I'm at Mujanzi on Instagram, that I don't really update that much, so good luck with that. But I'm also on a improvised sci-fi podcast called Mission to Zix, and I do their social media, so at Mission to Zix or at Bar Jerry and Jade on Twitter, if you want to follow me as a sentient spaceship.
And that does it for this episode of Must Have Seen TV. Thanks again to my guests, Lizzie Bryce and Mujanzi Zulfikari, for dropping by and talking about The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet with me. Next time, I'll be discussing I don't know what, because I don't have it booked yet. So you can just hang out and you'll find out when it comes out. Until then, I want to hear from all of you. Follow Must Have Seen TV on Twitter and Instagram. Love talking about sitcoms with y'all. If you want to watch live streams of classic sitcoms, still collecting email addresses to like do a Zoom link so I can make it private and Nazis won't come and ruin it, which is what they do on Zoom. Zoom raids are real. Although I think Zoom is trying to like beef up their security, so maybe it's not as much of a problem anymore. Anyway, I'm also trying to do more Twitter and Instagram and et cetera content with Must Have Seen TV, so follow those. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review the show in Apple Podcasts. As evidenced by this episode, I will do an episode of television if you request it. And I haven't already done it, and it's from the 20th century. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Brett White. Read the words that are at decider.com. Thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Thanks to all y'all for listening. And I'll see you next time on Must Have Seen TV.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.